Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, July 19th. I'm Ray Graff. Are you thinking about buying or selling a home? Well, you're in luck today. We have two real estate professionals with us to answer your questions. Alexander Monticello of Monticello Real Estate and Renata Lewis of Keller Williams Capital District are waiting for your questions. Give us a call at 800-348-2551. That's 1-800-348-2551. You can also email the program voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. We talk real estate on the program today. Your calls are coming up after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. You buying or selling a home or residential property? Well, if you've never done it before, it can be a daunting process. And even if you have, it can still be overwhelming. And there are many steps involved and numerous factors to consider. Lucky you, because we have two real estate professionals in the studio today to answer your questions about the process of buying and selling a home. Alexander Monticello of Monticello Real Estate is here. He specializes in residential sales for buyers and sellers in the Capital Region. Renata Lewis is with Keller Williams Capital District, also leads the Renata V. Lewis team. She is a go-to source for real estate industry insight and advice. Always great to have them both here. Alexander and Renata, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Give us a call now if you have a question, 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551 is the number, or you may email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551, and people are already lining up. But before we take calls, how's business, people?
It's good. It's been busy out there. Inventory is still very low, so we are seeking sellers and just really trying to get more inventory on the market.
Is that atypical for the country, that the inventory is low? Or are we just pretty much in lockstep with the rest of the nation?
You know, I just came back from an office meeting, and we were tracking what happens throughout the year, and it's a pretty balanced market throughout the year. However, because the sales are happening so quickly, I think inventory is moving much faster. And that's, as a realtor, we're noticing that we just don't have enough inventory to show that's available and active for the buyers.
And that's a good thing if houses are moving fast, right?
Well, if you represent sellers, it can be a good thing if you're selling your house. But if you're trying to buy, it can really create a lot of challenges.
So prices are higher then when houses go quicker?
Prices are definitely getting higher. I mean, we have an example today where a house came on the market today for $240,000. And within about 3 hours, they've received three offers. They've got 22 showings. And it could sell for, you know, 10 to 15% above asking price, which is $20,000 or $30,000.
So that brings a question for those who maybe have not gone through this somewhat nerve-wracking process of buying a home. That first offer you make, it seems to be like a poker game. How much are you going to put out there for your first bet? Is it wise to go under? Is it wise to hit that, what they're asking? Or is it just wise, if you really like the place, to go above?
You know, what I'm seeing in most cases is you don't have most properties you've got to offer full price. Sometimes you have to offer above asking price right out of the gate because there's so much competition for properties. They're often selling above asking price, so you can try to make an at or above asking price offer initially to try to close it down quickly, appeal to, you know, the better side of the seller and hope they'll appreciate that. But the seller could also say, hey, I've got 10 other showings this weekend. I'm going to try to run up the score and get the best offer possible.
It's important to evaluate the market. Right now we're in a seller's market, which is exactly what Alex has explained. So depending where the market is, if it's a buyer's market, you might be able to negotiate a little bit more. It's a really good conversation to have with your agent that's representing you to go over those stats and where you need to be to win over that house.
Renata Lewis is with us, also Alexander Monticello. We talk real estate today at 800-348-2551. Is there an etiquette involved? I remember one of my friends or coworkers, somebody years ago, was buying a house, and they put an offer in, might have been a little lower than what was asked, and they said, geez, we never even got a counter offer. Is there an etiquette involved where if you receive an offer, you're sort of compelled to say, well, no, listen, I want this much. Do you have to make a counteroffer?
You don't. As a seller, it really depends on, you know, when I'm representing a seller, we have a conversation, you know, is it a matter of need? Is it about a matter of want? As a seller, you don't even have to accept a full asking price offer. So I think it's important to really look at the entire contract. Price, terms, time frame, contingencies, all of those are equally important, and the seller makes a decision based on that, not necessarily just negotiating the price.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Let's go to the phones, and Christian in Gilderland. Christian, you're up first.
So since real estate is a little more involved than, say, the stock market, when do you think is the right time to start investing in real estate?
Oh, boy.
I would say when you can afford it. When you're ready to buy a house and you have the money, it's probably a good opportunity. And I generally would recommend that your first purchase be the property you occupy, as opposed to an investment property that you're going to try to manage and run while not living there.
I think it's also important how long you keep it, so the time frame of what your investment is all about. If it's something that you want to flip, you know, how much you're buying it for, what market you're in, and what you expect to get in return. If it's a 10-year plan and you're going to rent it out, different story. So it really depends on the terms.
Christian, thanks a lot for the call. Am I misremembering, or is there some tax rule as far as flipping? You have to keep it for X number of days before you flip it, or else you get a tax hit?
Well, you're going to have taxes, I think, either way. I think it has to do with whether it's a long-term investment or short-term investment, which might be a year or two. And I think the tax rates may vary between 15 and 25%. But you're going to, I mean, if you make a profit, whether you sell it in 5 years or 20 years, you're still going to have to pay taxes on the profit.
Yeah, you pay on capital gains, and it's going to depend whether or not you're a primary resident at that investment property or if it's something that's not something that you're occupying.
Right.
Our number is 800-348-2551. Wrong button there, Ray, you dope. Let's go over to Nick in Pittsfield. Nick, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You're on.
Hi, I was curious about what rating you would do for a credit rating as the lowest to get into buying a house. Mine's pretty low and I'm working on it, and I would like to own a house eventually.
Lenders, I mean, that's a good financing question for a lender, but lenders like to see a credit score of 680 or higher. There are some lenders that will work with you with a lower credit score, different plans. You really should try to get that credit score to as high as you can. But 680, I would say, is pretty much the low end where the lenders will speak with you and help you with getting ready to purchase a home.
Nick, what is your credit score?
Right now, I'm a little bit over 5, like 520.
Okay. I do know that if you go with a mortgage broker, they have a little bit more flexibility than the typical bank. So the mortgage broker can have a little bit more latitude in where they go.
And if you speak to one, they're going to help you and assist you in bringing that credit score up. Sometimes it's a matter of paying off a credit card or consolidating some loans. So there is definitely options. So reach out to somebody and they'll help you get there a little quicker.
And oftentimes there is incorrect information on your credit report. And absolutely, it's always good to take a look and say, well, this is wrong, this is wrong, that's wrong. And a mortgage broker will actually help you isolate some of those things as well. Now, when you're going to buy that first house, you go and you talk to your finance people first, right? Before you even go through the effort?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, we'd recommend, you know, before you start looking at houses, speak to a local lender or broker to get a sense of what you can afford, what type of mortgage you can qualify for, how much cash you need to close. It's not just the down payment, but there are closing costs.
And what is the typical down payment these days? What percentage do you need to come up with in cash to buy a house?
It depends on the financing option. There is options where you don't have to put any money down. USDA, VA loans allow you 100% financing, and on top of that, they allow up to 6% or even higher in seller's concessions. So you could be mortgaging well above 100% should you qualify for a particular loan, and if that home qualifies for that loan as well.
Yeah, USDA would be if it's more of a rural property, right. And you can go to the USDA website and type in the address and they'll tell you. But typically, if you're buying in more of an urban or suburban area, it won't qualify
so
for
So I couldn't
USDA.
Just put a vegetable garden in my backyard and
no,
sell the house?
No. It has to be on the map.
Rats. All right, let's go to Eileen in Boston Lake. Eileen, you're on.
Hi. My question is regarding sale of property that does not have a house. So I understand that there's not a lot of houses on the market. I have property for sale. What can I do to help advance the sale of the land?
Is the land raw land? Do you have public utilities? Has it been perked? Land is
okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it has been perked. It's been approved for 3 lots, and there is public water. And gas, and it's been engineered, so we know what kind of septic has to go in. So it could be 3 houses or it could be 1 house.
Is that what perked means? What does perked mean?
Perked means if you need a septic system, the land has to be perked. It's tested to how well the, waste goes through the dirt. I don't know how to explain
okay,
it.
Okay, fair enough.
Right, yeah.
Sorry I asked.
How much...
Sorry, go ahead.
You want the earth to be able to absorb what you're giving out.
Yes.
And then have to absorb it at a certain rate.
A much better explanation.
Right,
thank
fair
you.
Enough. Okay. Do you want to follow up, Eileen?
Oh, I just wanted to know if she had any advice about how to move it forward to get it sold.
Well, it seems like
it's land is different than a house, I guess.
It definitely is as far as putting it on the market and selling it. It seems like you've done your due diligence in preparing it for sale to take away a lot of the risk. So your next step would be to sit down with somebody to evaluate what the value is, whether it's one house or subdivided into the 3 houses. Some builders may be interested depending on, where the value is and what you're willing to let it go for. But you've
okay.
done a lot of the homework already, which is a huge step, which means that you increase the value and you could market it at top market at this point.
Okay, Eileen, thanks a lot. We need to take a break here. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. 800-348-2551. Renata Lewis and Alexander Monticello here to answer your real estate questions. And we'll be right back.
Support for WMC comes from the Hyde Collection, an art museum and historic house in Glens Falls, New York. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5, and Sunday, 12 to 5, hydecollection.org. Studio Herbage, a contemporary floral design studio in historic downtown Johnstown, New York. Local and long-distance delivery, studioherbageflorist.com. Pelham Auto Service at the Amherst Belchertown line, located by the sign of the Flying Pig. A worker-owned and operated service, repairing foreign cars since 1972, PelhamAuto.com. Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York. Offering wine and craft spirits from around the globe and from local artisans. Hand-picked selection of wines, single malts, and small batch bourbons. GrapesandGrainsWine.com. And Saratoga Jewish Cultural Festival, presenting Waltz with Bashir, an animated Israeli film about the war in Lebanon at Temple Sinai, Sunday, July 23rd at 7 p.m. Dessert reception and discussion to follow. SaratogaJewishCulturalFestival.org for details.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. Number is 800-348-2551. We talk real estate every so often, and we welcome Alexander Monticello and Renata Lewis to do that. Today is the day, so if you have a question about buying or selling a property, this is the time. We go over to Sandra in Albany. Sandra, you're on.
Yes, good afternoon. I am a housing advisor with the AHP Homeownership Center in Albany, New York.
Okay.
And we are part of a consortium of housing agencies across the state, not-for-profit housing agencies across the state that provide assistance to people looking to purchase homes. Typically, our people that we work with, first-time home buyers, and helping them get credit ready. We work with them to develop a budget to make sure that they're prepared for home ownership, as well as assisting them with the grants for first-time home buyers and other mortgage products that they would qualify for. So our agency, we've been in business since 1999, and we're part of a consortium of not-for-profit counseling agencies across the state through a group called HomeSmartNY.org.
HomeSmartNY.org.
.org,
okay.
Correct.
Great.
.org. And people can contact, go to that website to see what agency, not-for-profit agency, is closest to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they can call the agency and find out what types of, you know, grants are available to assist them with home ownership.
Alexander.
Yeah, I think that's the Affordable Housing Partnership.
Yes, yeah, yes, no, with Susan Kottner, right, our executive director.
Yep. No, it's a great program. I know you guys do a lot of matching funds for first-time home buyers who may not have cash, right, when they're making a purchase.
Exactly.
Is it up to $7,500?
Correct. It's a 1-to-4 match. So for every dollar they save, it's matched $4 up to $7,500. So a family of 1 to 2 people in the household in the Capital District, as long as their income falls below $65,600, then they would qualify. For a 3-plus person household, the income is $75,440.
Okay, and that's for first-time home buyers?
Yes, correct. And there's, you know, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say we have to move it along, but what's the website once again, Sandra?
It's homesmartny.org.
Well, thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it. 800-348-2551, the number. Let's go to Carrie in Lanesboro, Massachusetts. Carrie, you're on.
Hi, it's Terry. But
Terry, I'm sorry.
I was calling. That's okay. When you with the market right now, purchasing a house with cash seems to get the house bought sooner than getting a loan. And what's the options after that to get a loan that you can write off the interest, mortgage interest on it after the, you know, I heard something about a 90-day period you can do that.
No, I think I don't know if there's any time limit on it. It would be the same as if you purchased it with a mortgage in the beginning. And you could, if you own the house outright, you can take out a mortgage or you can get a home equity line of credit, which most people do, and the interest would be deductible, I believe.
Oh, okay, because my accountant had told me it was not.
Oh, well, I guess I would.
Well, I want to make it clear that Alexander's not an accountant.
Yeah. My understanding is mortgage interest and home equity interest, if it's on your primary residence, is deductible.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Terry, we appreciate it. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Let's talk for a minute about vacation homes. Perhaps an investment. Perhaps you're going to use the thing. Tell us about some of the pitfalls of looking for that first vacation home. I would imagine there are a whole range of dangers involved.
Well, for sure. And it depends how far away you buy it. And if you want to, if it's going to be a seasonal vacation house, if it's seasonal, you need to close it up. You need to see if it makes sense as far as an investment through the busy season time. How much do you want to use it as a family? And what are the options of, or when you're going to be renting it out? And if it all makes sense, maintenance comes into play, obviously taxes. If you pay for it in cash, it's a great option to do so. But again, I believe just for me, buying a vacation home, if I was to buy one, it'd be for me to use it.
Right.
And there's times where you just want to get some money back. I don't know if it's a great investment making money and having a huge return on it. I believe it's more of a personal thing and in enjoying the home. Alex?
Yeah, no, I would agree. I think most people maybe would buy the vacation home because they're going to use it frequently. They want a place where they can keep their items and not have to lug them back and forth. Maybe they go up every weekend or several weeks in the summer or the winter, depending on where it's located.
They can get expensive. Taxes, yeah. In other words, the predictive nature of what you do, and you have to be Nostradamus to figure out where the taxes are going. But if you buy a place 20 years ago, and suddenly now, 20 years later, the taxes are out of sight, then it suddenly becomes not viable. You have to sell, and you put it on the market for $700,000. And Lord knows you probably take a lot less because you're getting whacked with the taxes all the time.
Yeah, well, I think the other thing to consider now with Airbnb, it makes renting vacation properties a little bit easier, and there's much larger market, I think, and exposure than there used to be. So renting vacation properties, I think, is a little easier now with Airbnb.
You're all about the Airbnb, aren't you?
I think
we use it occasionally, yeah.
Maintenance comes into play. Where is it? You know, what entertainment and activities are nearby important? Is there a boat launch? Is it a lake? Is it an ocean? Is it in, you know, somewhere in a ski resort? I think it really depends on where you're buying and what you intend to do with it and the kind of use that you plan for it.
Our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. We talk real estate on the program today with Renata Lewis of the Renata V. Lewis team and Alexander Monticello of Monticello Real Estate. What's the hottest property market in our region right now?
You know, I almost feel like everything is hot. I'm not sure whether you're in the
city. That is a total cop-out,
no,
Alex. Come on, man.
Honestly, it doesn't. I've seen whether you're in City of Albany, City of Saratoga, Clifton Park, Del Mar. I mean, properties are literally flying off the shelf above asking price. I don't go out rural areas, so some of the far off, you know, the more rural you get, probably the less buyers you have. But, Ray, I think wherever there's a reasonable amount of residential density, I think it's a really tough market for buyers.
That's a non-committal answer from Alexander Monticello. Let's go for the real scoop from Renata Lewis.
Oh, God, I'm on the spot. Overall, the trend is that the real estate market is hot. We obviously look at California, New York City, Chicago, the big cities. We watch where they are, and they've been doing really great. Market share is up. The interest rates are still low. Market values are up. And inventory overall nationwide seems to be low.
Ray, I think I can maybe answer your question another way. The higher you go in price, the slower the market. So I think once you start getting over 700,000
locally,
now there's less buyers. So properties are not flying off the shelf at 700,000. But you know, $500,000 and $600,000 properties that are priced right. I don't know what you're seeing, Renata, but even those in the capital region are moving relatively quickly.
Hmm. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Let's go over to Amber in Great Barrington. Amber, you're on.
Hi, I bought a house last year, and the appraised value of the house, which obviously what the taxes are assessed on, is a lot higher than what the house is actually worth because there needs to be a lot of repairs. Somebody said something about an abatement on taxes. How does that work?
Well, depending where you are, there's usually a month where you could grieve your taxes. So you said appraised. Appraisal is different than the assessment. So when you purchase a house, you have a bank appraisal that comes in, and that's basically the bank saying, is the house worth what you're paying for it? And you need it to be at least what you're paying for the house. If that and you can use that appraisal as long as it's not too old and bring it to your town and with comparables or maybe even with an attorney help and grieve your assessment to match the appraisal. So I guess what you're saying is that your assessment is higher than the appraisal that you received, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So you want to be able to use that appraisal towards the assessment and grieving that assessment lower to make that assessment be equal to the appraisal, and therefore your taxes will be reflected off the new assessment. Some towns are easier to work with other towns are harder. Speak to either a local realtor or someone that works with grieving your taxes. It really depends on the different areas, and they're very, very different.
Okay, thank you very much.
And I'll just add that in New York State, you typically can grieve your taxes in the month of May. So that's, unfortunately, there's only about 30 days when you can grieve taxes. You can try, if you purchased your home recently and the taxes are high, you can try to go to the town assessor and maybe bring them cookies and flowers and ask.
Yeah.
But technically, the assessor only has to review a grievance in New York State in the month of May.
Right. You can do it by appointment, and if there is an attorney involved, it can be done any time of the year, but they do like to keep it within that month that they are actually working on the assessments and valuing those.
In a case like that, is it smart to bring in an attorney?
It depends. If it makes sense, depending, again, how long are you going to stay at home at that particular property? If you have a long-term plan and you could get your assessments down $50,000 to $100,000, absolutely, 100%. The fee typically is, I don't want to throw a number out there, but it's fairly minimal, $500.
Yeah.
And I believe it's definitely worth it if you can get those taxes down considerably.
We talk real estate today on Vox Pop. Our number is 800-348-2551. We go to Jerry in Monticello. Jerry, you're on.
Yeah, I'm looking into buying a property, and I'm wondering the relationship between the assessment value, the fair market value, and the listing value. The properties that I've been looking at, the listing value is way, way more than the fair market value. So could you please clarify that?
But isn't that a function of this hot market?
Yeah, exactly, right? I guess fair market value is what somebody's willing to pay. If the house has been on the market for 90 days in this market, it's probably overpriced. But if the house sells within a matter of a few days or a few weeks, then it's probably a relatively fair price, and that's market value. You can also hire a realtor and have them do some comps, comparative properties, and they can assist in evaluating what they, whether the list price is in line with market value. I generally advise people, you want to buy a property that has a low assessment. Taxes are going to be lower on the property than the house may be worth.
But will that assessment go up if because of the hot market, it goes way above listing value?
No, they can't assess on a sale.
Really?
So the town won't assess on at least in New York, they won't assess on a sale. Now, they will assess if you do a lot of improvements, like pull some building permits and update, add bathrooms.
Yeah.
Or bedrooms.
Okay. Does that help, Jerry?
So, for example, if it's 75, fixed assessed at 75,000, but then you buy it at 150. If you keep the same structure, the structure of the property, so the assessment value would still be 75,000.
No, well, if you do work in there and start building, pulling building permits, they could, and then technically adding value, they could reassess you. If you buy it for, if you buy it for 150 and it's assessed at 75 and you don't put any money on it, then you can still make the case the assessment should be 75.
All right, Jerry, thanks a lot for the call. But they reassess, most towns reassess periodically. Anyway, won't they say, well, gosh, this one sold for $350,000. It's only assessed at 260 right now.
Yeah,
cha-ching.
When they do a town-wide assessment.
Right.
Right, and like the city of Albany just went through that last year. They typically do it every maybe 5 to 7 years. You're absolutely right. When they do a town-wide reassessment, your taxes probably will go up. But
yes,
they won't do individual assessments on properties on sales.
Okay, fair enough. Renata Lewis is here, Alexander Monticello, and you at 800-348-2551. Ian in Johnsonville. Ian, you're on.
Yes, good afternoon. I've got a somewhat interesting one. I live in my mother's old home, and she holds the mortgage to the house, but I'm on the deed to the property and the home. I'm trying to find the best way to go about purchasing the house from her.
Okay.
So your name is on the deed.
My name is on the deed to the land that the house sits on.
Okay, so it's on the land. That's I was just going to say, how did your name get on the deed if you didn't purchase the house?
Yep, because I grew up in the home. She moved away, and I took over the mortgage payments. She physically pays them, but I pay her.
Right. Well, Alex, maybe you can help me out with that, but I believe that you could just do like an intra-family transfer for a dollar. And
yeah, I would probably recommend consulting with a real estate attorney, and they can assist with the transfer
right.
of title and make sure it's recorded in the county clerk's office.
Yeah, so it's almost like a purchase, but it's an intra-family purchase, so really no money needs to be exchanged. I believe that dollar does have to get exchanged.
Yeah, there might be a small nominal fee.
Small amount, yeah.
But
yeah.
the important thing is that you record it at the county clerk's office.
Understandable. The only downside of that would be is that my mother does want some nominal fee for the house, you know, a
right.
couple thousand dollars.
So you could do it at whatever you want, though,
yeah.
right? It doesn't
yeah.
have to be a dollar.
You could do it. It may talk to her about it, see what you can afford, see what you guys can, you know, agree upon, and no one really needs to know that number. It's between you guys.
Okay,
what
so
if you,
that works.
Thanks, Ian. But what if you want to finance that amount?
It's got to be over $50,000 to finance it. I mean, generally speaking, I don't think banks will work with home loans under $50,000.
Yep.
Okay. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Let's get one more in before the next break, and let's go to Jeff in Great Barrington. Jeff.
Yeah, hi. There's a question about rural primary residence in Massachusetts. And I don't know how definitive it is to local jurisdictions, but when we bought the house, there was a mother-in-law apartment in the house. There was a family of three living in that apartment. We then took it over as our home space. But all the plumbing is there, all the fixtures potentially are there for another kitchen. My question is, after 15 years of using it as primary residence, is there a reasonable, could we reuse it as a mother-in-law apartment in a legal way? Or would we have to go through some kind of a particular way to make that happen?
Well, what's the zoning on the property? Is it a single family or is it single
That's
family?
Correct. It's a single family in a rural location, but in the town and in regards to taxes and whatnot, it's always had this mother-in-law apartment as part of it. And the person in the other tenancy, when I look back at some of the old files, they were paying a tax to the town.
Interesting. It's a little different, I think, between the states. In New York State, an in-law apartment has to be occupied by somebody that is related to you to be legal. So, I mean, you can charge them, I guess, if you'd like to. But if the city or the town was to find out that you're renting it to someone other than related to you, it's just not allowed. So,
got it. So I should check with my state.
You do. Yeah. You do. Check with them. You know, zoning is important, and really the use should, if the use was there that long ago, you may be able to, it may be grandfathered. But again, the in-law will probably state that it has to be a relative that's living with you.
Let's take a break here. 800-348-2551, the telephone number. Renata Lewis and Alexander Monticello here, and they will answer your real estate questions after this.
Support for WMC comes from Wash & Wag Pet Grooming Salon, Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Professionally trained groomers, organic, natural products, no cage drying, Facebook and 866-WASH-WAG. Speight Consulting and Coaching, Shelburne Falls. More than 20 years of working with leaders and teams committed to purposeful change. See it whole and move it forward, dlspecht.com. Lakeview Orchard and Farm Stand, 94 Old Cheshire Road, Lanesboro, Massachusetts. You pick cherries, raspberries, currants, blueberries, homemade donuts, pies, pastries, kapusta, galumpki, and pierogi. LakeviewOrchard.com. Stone Soup Concrete, specializing in handcrafted and environmentally sound concrete countertops, sinks, furniture, and floors, serving the Northeast since 2001. StoneSoupConcrete.com and on Facebook. And Albany Parking Authority, offering more than 5,000 public parking spots in Albany. ParkAlbany.com for on-street and garage options.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpopwamc.org. And we talk real estate every so often. Today, we're doing just that with Renata Lewis and Alexander Monticello. And a couple of emails here before we get back to the phones. Joseph writes in, the PERC test that we spoke of early in the program, the PERC test established the rate at which your septic liquids percolate down through the soil.
Thank you.
You see, you were actually right. This one is from Ray in HF. Maybe that's High Falls, I'm not sure. Says, I have bought and sold properties in Florida and California prior to New York. Why is New York the only state where lawyers are necessary to the process? And that's sounds a little bitter.
They're actually not necessary, but I would never try to buy a house without one.
Well, New York State is a very disclosure-friendly state. There is a disclosure upon a disclosure for a disclosure. So it's just, it's highly advisable that you work with somebody just to cross your T or cross your T's, dot your I's.
And lawyers important. Are people, too. They're very nice.
Yep.
Let's go to, most of them, let's go to Mike in Ellenville. Mike, you're on.
Yes, I have a question. I have a property. I've been living there quite a while, and it's an old bungalow colony with multiple units. I've been getting inquiries from my guests. They want me or are interested in turning these into condominiums. How to go about that? Do I have to pay my bank off before anyone can purchase one of the units?
Okay. Don't all jump at once.
I'm not sure if I understand the question. So it's just part of the units that you're willing to sell, or?
Well, these are individual units. They're individual bungalows.
Okay.
And what I'd like to do is, you know, sell them as a condominium to an individual. But because I have a mortgage, will their bank allow that individual to purchase that home, knowing that there's already a lien on the entire property?
No, they will not. The title transfers at the closing, and the title has to be basically free of any encumbrances or any other mortgages, debt. So at that point, that title will have to be cleared. You would have to technically talk to the town, rezone this, subdivide each bungalow to its own separate single-family bungalow before you could do any sale of each of them individually. It just wouldn't work that way. It would have to be all or none, or subdivide them and get zonings for each one.
So I'm confused about this. I see the zoning to sell them as condos, but would Mike then still own the property but not the buildings?
No. Well, it depends. I mean, the bungalows... No, a bungalow is sitting on the property that it's on.
Right.
And it comes with it. It's not a movable, like a mobile bungalow. So when he's ready to sell, it would have to be subdivided as far as the land, property, and the single family resident that's sitting on top of it.
Okay, Mike, thanks a lot for that. Alex?
Hello.
Hello.
I think with condos are a little tricky. If you also need to get, you need to form a condominium association and get approval from the Attorney General in New York State if you're going to form, if you want to create a condominium.
Now, what if he just wanted to lease those out?
Well, I believe he could, yeah. But if you want to actually form an association or a condominium association, that requires an approval from the Attorney General.
And that's a good point, because condos are, they're hard to pass in the towns. Condos typically, because the associations are a little bit higher, their taxes tend to be a little bit lower. So I think it's a really big process to even get there.
Interesting. All right, let's go to Lee in Pittsfield. Hi, Lee, you're on.
Oh, hi. Here's my question about buyers and sellers fees. In other words, my husband and I moved to Pittsfield from Maryland several years ago when the market was, you know, at its most worst for selling a home. And at that point, we were responsible for most of the fees associated with selling a house. And so I'm wondering if that has evolved at any point, you know. And, you know, if we were to sell our house now, you know, is it still the same? Is it, you know, has it changed?
I don't believe it has changed. I think, so generally there's fees the seller pays and fees the buyer pays. And typically when you're selling your house, one of the largest fees is going to be the real estate commissions. In New York State, there's going to be something called a transfer tax. Which is, I believe, 0.5% of the value of the property. And then there might be a couple $100 in recording fees and then your attorney. On the buy side, the buyer has their own set of fees. They have mortgage tax. They have loan origination. They have title insurance. What am I missing, Renata?
Yeah, I think where people get confused is the seller's concession, because the seller's concession, buyers feel that it's something that the sellers have to give up at closing. And in the way New York State is written is, if there is a seller's concession, it's the buyers, it's technically the buyers rolling in extra money into their mortgage that they actually receive in liquid funds at closing to help them with the closing costs. So we technically have to write the contract at a higher higher purchase price on the contract, and then the sellers have to sign off on allowing that seller's concession to be handed to the buyers at closing.
Now, Lee is in Pittsfield, but this holds true in most states?
I think the seller's concessions do vary in different states, where there is states where the seller's concessions, actually the seller is saying, hey, we'll give you some money towards the closing costs. So it's written a little differently. I don't believe it's all the same.
Well, I guess where I'm coming from is, you know, we've bought and sold a few homes in the last decade. We sold a home, well, it was back in 2004 in Maine. And, you know, they were jumping through hoops. And, you know, it was a completely different world. What I'm saying is, it still sounds like it's pretty much a buyer's market in terms of all the fees and, you know, when you go to the table to sell a home.
Well, it's a seller's market, right?
Well, it's a seller's market as far as the market values. I think she's talking about the fees. What Alex had said, I believe in each state, the buyer has a fee, you know, their fee set of fees, and then the sellers have their set of fees. And everything comes off on a closing disclosure at settlement. And everybody, that's how it's divided.
You could actually you should have gotten when you purchased your existing home, a closing disclosure sheet, and it will have it has a breakdown of the costs, both the buyer's and the seller's costs. I would imagine those will be pretty similar. When you go to sell, you won't be paying anything on the right-hand column, which is the buyer's side. You'll be paying all the fees that the seller paid, usually on the left-hand column. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes.
That might give you a good idea of what your fees are going to be.
Thanks, Lee. It's all very confusing. I don't know how you two do this. It's just very, very, very confusing. I guess that's why you guys make the big bucks, right? Let's go to Marie in Newburgh. Marie, you're on.
Okay. Tell me if you can hear me clearly or not.
I can hear you.
I have a funny phone.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Hope I can hear you. Okay. I need your advice. I'll try to be as clear as I can be. My husband and I have slowly been drifting apart, and we've been married a long time. In the last 10 years, my parents lived with us and died one at a time. I had to take care of them, and I didn't pay attention. But the house slowly went down in care. And my husband, I think, knew it and let it happen. The ceiling fell in on the kitchen partially. He let it go. The appliances are in bad shape. A lot of things are wrong with the roof, the gutters, backyard, the landscaping. And He has made no intentions to appraise or assess the house, and it will be his person that will come in, and it will be a low assessment. I'm worried that it will be so low that he can buy me out, whereas I am not in a position to buy him out. So he will get a house in a gorgeous neighborhood, which is worth three times what it is right now being taxed at. I need some advice as to whether or not I should go ahead and really put my shoulder behind fixing the house and the landscaping as best I can, even if I have to borrow money from my friends to do this, so that the house is worth what it should be, so that if we divorce, which is likely, I will get something that I deserve from that house.
Okay, time out just for a minute, Marie. Time out, and our realtors will answer, but I think it's vital that I tell you, you should get some professional in there who talks to you and looks at the entire situation. They will give you general information, not in a legally binding sense. Okay, realtors, who wants to go first?
Right. Well, it's just as Ray has just said, you need to get a professional realtor that you trust and have them look at the property and give you an as-is value and give you a value of improving and what's most important in improving. As far as the improving part, if you have the liquid funds to do it, it will bring up the value of the house. house, but what's the return on the investment? If you put in $20,000, $30,000, are you just going to get back the $20,000 and $30,000, or are you going to get $50,000 to $60,000? So huge, huge, very important. You speak to somebody that's very knowledgeable in that local area to give you the best advice, and then I think you'll have a better and clearer decision.
Alex.
I agree.
Fair enough. Marie, that's a tough one. I think a lawyer might also be a good good person to contact. Joel in West Hampton, Mass. Joel, you're on.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I have a piece of lakefront property with a four-season home on it, and I've been told that it's customary for the town to base the tax assessment on the amount of waterfront you actually have, so that you could have a house next door, which might possibly be coming for sale, which is essentially more of a camp, but she's got a lot of waterfront. And I'm trying to get a sense of whether that's kind of customary, whether I should be figuring that into the possibility if I actually go ahead and make an offer on this.
I'm sorry, you own a property or you're looking to buy a property?
No, I own a property, and I'm trying to evaluate the possibility of adding to it the property next door. She has a fairly not much of a house. I mean, maybe I would knock it down. Maybe I would extend my house. But she's got a lot of waterfront. I have a very narrow lot with a good house on it. So I'm just wondering if, like, you know, does that sort of typically that the town puts a lot of value in the amount of waterfront you have, less so than what the house is?
All right. General rule of thumb, I guess.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. But I think you also can figure out, you know, what the assessment of the property is now, right, that you're going to buy. And so those are likely.
I haven't even gone that far. She just literally, you know, said next week, you know, I think I'm selling this.
Okay.
She's done. She's like 85. She's going to Florida.
Best thing you could do is ask her for her tax bills, and you'll find out what the assessment is then. And that's what you know you'll likely be paying if you were to buy it. That's how it would increase your taxes.
Is that generally the case, though, that when the towns do their assessments, they're figuring the amount of frontage you have?
You know, it might vary from town to town. You might want to talk to the town directly. But certainly it's going to add value if you were to purchase it and combine it with your parcel.
All right, Joel, thank you very much. Over to Diane and Saugerties. Diane, you're on.
Thank you. I just want to say that I have bought real estate without using an attorney, and I have not had any problems. I understand it's advised, but it is not necessary.
Good for you.
And my question is to the realtors, do you know anybody who has ever collected anything on title insurance?
That old question.
Do you mean the additional title insurance that you purchase after the closing?
No, what you have to purchase before the bank will give you any money.
I wouldn't typically see that because I'm not the attorney. Typically, the attorneys would kind of handle that. But yes, there's title insurance claims that come up all the time. I actually knew an attorney.
There are? Do you know of any personally?
I actually did know of an attorney who, he was an attorney for title insurance companies, and he basically handled their litigation. So there are, but I agree, it's rare, right? You're talking a 1 in 100 chance, right? 1%, maybe 2%.
And for those who don't know, the title insurance does what?
Title insurance protects the owner, the buyer, from any title claim that somebody else may have on the property, or if there was a mistake made in recording a lien or a judgment at the clerk's office. You know, it doesn't happen very frequently. It's very infrequent. But, you know, I'm the kind of guy that likes to have insurance for everything, and title insurance is one of those.
But that's why I asked. There's two different title insurances. The one that the bank makes you purchase before
Correct.
You close on the house, because that's protection and the risk for the bank.
You're protecting the bank.
Exactly. And then at closing, the buyers are asked, would you like to purchase additional insurance? Owner's policy once you close on the house.
And how much does that typically cost?
I think it's about 0.5% of the value of the property.
So it could be fairly steep.
Yeah, if you're buying a $300,000 property, it might be $1,500 to $2,000.
And what do you typically tell your clients when they're buying? Do you go for it or don't go for it?
Well, I think ultimately I tell them to discuss it with their attorney. But you know, it's a question of do you have hazard insurance? Are you afraid of worst case scenarios? It's again unlikely that you're going to need it, kind of, but it's in the cases where you need it, you're really glad to have it.
Okay, fair enough. All right, we're about out of time here. Renata Lewis, how do people find you on the web?
Renatashomes.com.
Spell Renata for us.
R-E-N-A-T-A.
Renata's Homes.
Homes.com.
All right, fair enough. And Alexander Monticello.
You can find us at MonticelloNYS.com.
Okay.
Online.
Well, this is very good. And, it's been fun, and we've learned a lot today, and we'll bring you guys back. Hopefully the market continues to boom, and you'll come back in Ferraris or Maseratis Woo-hoo. Or something. Support comes from Mango Tree Imports, a Saratoga Springs Fair Trade Shop with gift items from 60 countries, mangotreeimports.com. Curtis Lumber is specializing in kitchen design featuring Cambria quartz countertops, Murillat cabinetry, and more. Designer consultations available, curtislumber.com. Basin Harbor, Lake Champlain, Vermont, lakefront accommodations for vacations, weddings, and conferences featuring a championship golf course at New Boat Club with 40 slips for overnight stays, basinharbor.com for details. And Boyden and Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, providing foreign and domestic car, truck, and SUV repair services at a Massachusetts inspection station for over 50 years, boydenandperrin.com. Thanks again to Alexander Monticello and Renata Lewis for being here. Thank you for listening and for the great calls. Our phones were answered today by Carol Lapani. Our engineer is Zach Malloy. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. And don't you know, tomorrow it's the Science Forum. Get your scientific questions ready to go, and we will see you at 2 o'clock. Right now, though, stand by for news.